From Economics Matters by Lawrence Kotlikoff. Is the U.S. declining? Yes, but our decades-long Ponzi scheme, not China, is to blame. I'll immediately make it a free lifetime subscription. Paid subscriptions come with a one-hour free financial consultation with me. Email me a time at email redacted. Teaching financial literacy / economics in high school, college, or grad school. Contact me at email redacted for free MaxiFi licenses for your students and a PRO license for you. Professor Allison was referencing this line of Thucydides. It was the rise of Athens and the fear that this inspired in Sparta that made war inevitable. In the recent summit between Presidents Trump and Xi, President Xi asked whether China and the U.S. can overcome the Thucydides trap and establish a new paradigm for relations between great powers. President Trump later tweeted, according to Wikipedia, the Thucydides trap is a term popularized by American political scientist Graham Allison to describe an apparent tendency towards war when an emerging power threatens to displace an existing great power as a regional or international hegemon. President Xi very elegantly referred to the United States as perhaps being a declining nation. Earth to President Trump, there is no perhaps here. Nations that don't save, don't invest. And nations that don't invest reduce their growth rate. They also watch as foreigners invest in their place. The table below documents a colossal decline in the U.S. net national saving rate from 15% and 16% in the 50s and 60s to 2% in this decade. Nerd time. Net national saving is measured by subtracting consumption by households and government from net national income, with all variables measured at producer prices. Net national income is our total labor and asset income, whether earned at home or abroad, net of wear and tear depreciation on capital plant, equipment, residential structures, etc. The net national saving rate is net national saving divided by net national income. Imagine only Americans, including Uncle Sam, invested in America. Then net domestic investment divided by net national income would equal net national saving, i.e. every dollar invested in our country would reflect a dollar saved by we the people and our government. But foreigners also invest in the U.S. That's why the net national domestic investment rate in the table differs from the net national saving rate. Between 1950 and 1979, we saved more than enough to cover investment in our country. So, we invested the overage abroad in what's called net foreign investment. Net foreign investment is also called the current account surplus when the number is positive. When it's negative, it's called the current account deficit. In the 50 and 60 we ran a current account surplus, equivalently, a negative current account deficit. But starting in the 1980s and continuing year after year thereafter, we've saved less than the amount invested in our country. Foreigners have looked at this and effectively said, gee, there are great investment opportunities in the U.S., but Americans are saving next to nothing and, thus, are investing next to nothing in their own country. Let's seize the opportunities they are missing, invest there, and reap the rewards. Consider Jamaica, whose population is extremely poor. The country's GDP per capita is only $8,000. But its 1,732 hotels and resorts accommodate roughly 50,000 tourists every day of the year. The pic below is of the secret St. James Montego Bay Resort. Guess who owns it? It's not Jamaicans, half of whom have an annual income below $6,000. It's the founders of Hyatt and the millions of global owners of Hyatt stock. Yes, Hyatt shareholders include a handful of rich Jamaicans. But the value to typical Jamaicans of this massive foreign investment in Jamaica is the opportunity to cook, clean, and otherwise serve the resort's foreign guests. Your average Jamaican certainly earns more thanks to this and the island's other 1,731 vacation establishments. And Jamaicans will be happy to see the secrets finally reopen after its long Hurricane Melissa closure. But, let's be clear, Jamaica is a servant economy that's politely called a service economy. During the last 5 years, we saved only 2.2% of our net national income NNI. During this period, foreign net investment in the U.S. was 4.6% of our NNI. In other words, for every dollar we invested in our country, foreigners invested $2. Last year, the year America was made great again, our saving rate was just 1.5%, whereas the foreign investment in the U.S. rate was 5.0%. Thus, foreigners invested $3 in our country for every $1 we invested. Trump is anti-immigrant when it comes to labor, but pro-immigrant when it comes to capital. We need both types of immigration to keep our economy GDP growing. But to be clear, US GDP isn't all accruing to Americans, including Uncle Sam. Foreigners get their share of our pie as returns on their investments. The table has two awful messages. The first is the implosion to almost zero of U.S. saving. The second is the 50% reduction in the U.S. rate of net domestic investment. Yes, foreigners have kicked in to keep our investment rate above our saving rate, but they haven't invested enough in the U.S. to keep investment at the 13.6% rate posted, on average, from 1950 through 1969. Were that the case last year, foreigners would have had to invest $9 for every dollar invested by we Americans. Had our net national saving rate averaged, through the entire post-war, 15.6% the average 1950-1969 rate rather than fall to 1.5%, U.S. domestic investment would have almost surely been twice as high, and our capital stock output, wage rates, productivity, and share of world GDP would have been day and night higher. Less investment means less capital with which American workers have to work. This makes them less productive than would otherwise be the case. President Xi has surely considered our saving/investment debacle in alluding, in his reference to Thucydides, to our relative, if not absolute economic decline. He's also surely looked at the next chart showing median real weekly earnings of full-time employed males. As the chart shows, the real pay of typical American male workers is no higher today than it was almost a half century ago. Our miserable net domestic investment rate is a major part of the story. Thus, I need to amend what I wrote above. Countries that don't save, don't invest on their own. And countries that don't invest on their own, don't receive enough foreign investment to make up the difference. Hence, countries that don't save decline on all economic metrics relative to those that do. Anyone who doubts what investment means to a country's productive capacity needs to spend time in China and simply look at its infrastructure, its roads, electric grid, high-speed rail, solar arrays, forests of modern skyscrapers, and Trump's most virulent anti-China advisor, Peter Navarro, has built his entire career writing books like Death by China and The Coming China Wars. But he's only spent a few days in China out of the 27,740 days he's been on this planet actually learning about the country he's made a living hating. He's now banned from entering the country. Stephen Miller, Trump's other rabid anti-China expert, has clocked 3 days in China, one less than Navarro. What about Vice President Vance, who says China is the biggest threat to our country? He has yet to step foot in the county. But back to our miserable net domestic investment rate. It's not the sole reason U.S. workers haven't received a real pay raise since 1977. Our ever-worsening education system bears considerable responsibility. Today, half of high school seniors can't do basic math, and a third would fail an English proficiency test. Only 1 in 3 high school GPA